Mac and Yo-Yo's family vacation, May asked for permission, and Daisy needs to wake up and smell the roses. See what I did there? Anyway, Izell's hair is everything. Stop walking away from me. Everyone in S.H.I.E.L.D. needs counseling. We are talking daddy issues and more on this week's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6, Episode 11, From the Ashes. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I really think everyone on S.H.I.E.L.D., they just need counseling. Everyone needs counseling. Piper, everyone.
Fitz, Simmons,
needs counseling.
Daisy, every single person. May.
Everyone. Benson. Every single person
now.
In S.H.I.E.L.D. needs counseling. Actually, the most sane person is Izell. I'm sorry to tell everyone
yeah.
this. Izell has a plan. She's going after what she wants. She's not confused. She doesn't get stopped by anything. She's on the way there.
She's well aware of her feelings and why.
She's actually a very aware person to the point where she even knows that not Coulson is her nemesis. And she's like, but I'm able to wake the thing inside you because I want what's best for you. I just really like Izell and her hair is everything.
Yeah. And some people are just beyond counseling.
I feel like that was it. Me. If you don't know who I am, my name's Toronto. We'll be hosting this panel alongside the wonderful, amazing Rachel.
Hey, everybody. I am very excited to be here to discuss another week of S.H.I.E.L.D. and especially everything going on with Yo-Yo and Mac.
That's right. And if you don't know, she's a good man. So pay attention to what we have to say. We are talking everything Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6, Episode 11. From the Ashes. We're going to talk about a lot of good stuff this week. We are talking some Mac and Yo-Yo, especially on their trip. They're a trip on their trip, I feel like. Benson's mind. Ooh, Izell's foolproof plan. Not Coulson cannot remember. Say that three times fast. May is all father, may I? Daisy in charge. Is that a good idea? Fitzsimmons and like grandfather, like grandson. Coming to the rescue, my man Deke again. Piper pipes up. Not Coulson wakes up. Resonance frequencies. If you don't know what that means, you will by the end of this episode. Yucatan is a nice place this time of year. Chronica 3, news and gossip over there with Rach. Whoa moment, predictions and more. You're gonna wanna stay tuned to us. Don't walk away. I just liked one thing. Don't walk away. You always walk away. Everyone walks away.
Yes.
That's a Daisy reference in case you didn't know. Rachel, what were your overall thoughts of this episode?
Daisy. So I would say that generally my favorite part of this episode was everything going on between Daisy and Sarge. I guess they're still calling him Sarge, so I'm going to call him Sarge. But just, you know, they finally called Daisy out on exactly what she does. And we got to kind of see her.
What does she do?
Bolt.
She walks away.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
I gave you this lob and you totally didn't take it.
I know.
I'm just letting
I know.
You know.
I said Bolt.
Bolt.
Yeah.
Okay. The
sounded
name
better
of a
when I thought of it.
Bus that's worse than Megabus.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, in any case, that was my overall thought of the episode. And everything just, I love that they finally called her out on it. And then she got to finally see for herself what she was doing.
Everyone who knows me knows that I'm a Daisy fan.
And yes.
Daisy and I are destined to be together. I love her more than Deke, as we can tell. I was actually hoping for a Deke and Butterfly reunion or something,
but we didn't
get that. I know. We didn't get to see her, and we didn't get to see a mention of her, like, oh, I miss her, nothing. I love Daisy. Only person I might love more than Daisy right now?
Deke.
Izell.
Okay.
You got Deke? No.
You just said.
I love Deke, but Izell's hair is everything. I'm an Izell. I love how sinister Izell is. Izell keeps her eyes on the prize, and she is ruthless.
So I actually have a differing opinion on her.
No way.
Yeah. To me, she's kind of flat. I agree with about the hair, so it's not that, but it's just her character. I feel like, I think that she's ruthless, but I just feel like she's very two-dimensional, and that we're not, like, every time I see her, it's like, okay, like, she's just, I kind of just feel like she's a typical villain, and that there's not that much to her.
Do you know anything about resonance frequencies? I don't think you do, because if you did, you would understand how two-dimensional she really is. She is.
Yeah.
She's always, but she's the epitome, but here's the difference. Her bad is simply a perspective. So she has a purpose, and her purpose is, for whatever reason, the destruction of the world to inhabit people's bodies. The one thing I want to know is why she destroyed all those other worlds, but when it comes to Earth, it's so time-consuming and takes forever, and she has to do it in a specific, special way. That's actually an interesting thing. But we don't get enough of her backstory in order to see more dimensions. She's Voldemort without the Tom Riddle counterpart.
I agree with you. Yeah, and I think there could be a lot more to her if we did get more of that backstory. And also, just we saw, not to kind of jump in the middle here, but when Sarge, when Daisy finally quaked him to death and he woke up and he was starting to see the temple, we see that he is obviously remembering May and Sky/Daisy, but we also kind of see that he's remembering Izel too. And what I want to know is, actually, I'd love to see more of that and to see more of how they're connected, because then maybe I would get this rivalry and I would get what's going on between them.
I think we're going to get a lot more of Izel's backstory. They've been doing an excellent job of moving the action forward this year. Sometimes there were seasons where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had a long season, and so we saw this lag in the middle and it have to rise back up, and we had to get more of the storyline. That happened specifically during the Ghost Rider year. It also happened during the second season. But in this season, the action, and definitely happened last season, but in this season, we're definitely seeing fast-paced movement. They're sticking to the storyline. We want to know more. We're involved. Every episode goes by very quickly, so to speak, meaning that the length of the episode hasn't changed, but the pace of the episode has, and that's a huge improvement. And knowing that we only get one more season hasn't dampened the storyline for this season.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's almost as if they wrote this season thinking that this would be the last, but in a positive way, as opposed to this would be the last, so we no longer care.
Yeah.
And I really like how it's moving. Let's get into some of the discussions. We're going to definitely talk about Mac and Yo-Yo on this trip, because there were several storylines that were happening simultaneously, and the Mac and Yo-Yo one was the preliminary one. Here, we are coming off of last week's episode of Mac following Yo-Yo into Izel's trap, right?
Yeah.
Going in. And we start off this episode almost thinking we missed something, because Mac seems out of it and Yo-Yo's concerned.
See, I knew the whole time that was not Mac. I knew it. I knew that Yo-Yo was falling into a trap. It seemed too easy to me.
You knew that Izel had possessed Mac.
Yeah, I knew. Like, I could just feel that was what was going on before they even revealed it. And I was like, nope, Yo-Yo, don't say anything. And she did.
And she did. She gave up the name Benson, who, of course, we haven't seen Benson for a couple episodes. So it was nice to reincorporate him back into the storyline, being that he's the one with exceptional knowledge regarding the monoliths and the dialis and all the things that we've been studying on his behalf. So she drops that name. Izel had taken over Mac and then trapped Yo-Yo with that's a name I've never heard before. And we realize she's been tricked.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, the acting in that moment. Mac, like, he went from, I knew what was happening, but it still sounded like Mac. And then all of a sudden with that line, oh, there's a name. Like, I could just feel it was a separate person. And that, like, that, if nothing else, like, over these last two episodes, seeing Izel jump and seeing the different actors react to this and playing it that way, it, to me, that's one of the most impressive things I've seen this whole entire season.
The one of the things that I really like is, of course, we all enjoy the Mac and Yo-Yo dynamic. Yo-Yo Mac has always been a favorite amongst all the fans and all of us at the panel. Whatever happened to Homeboy that died that Yo-Yo was talking about? Like,
And they bring him up, too.
They bring him up, and we still were like, who's that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Keller? Yeah. Was that his name?
Keller. That was his name.
Is it? Yeah. Like, for a second, I was like, hold on. Is Keller the guy that jumped last week? Oh, no. Keller's the guy that Yo-Yo was dating in almost a serious manner, who died and no one cared about, to the point where now they're using him as a reference.
Yeah.
Even though it's only been like 2 weeks. A reference is in, oh, Keller. Wink, wink,
yeah.
Keller.
He's doing great.
He's fine.
Let's ask him. Let's go talk to him.
And that's how Benson figures out that something's amiss with Mac, of course. Mac is in Izel's control, under Izel's control. So the whole thing is that was gone. I mean, Yo-Yo has now spent a night with Mac. They're back together. And in fact, the whole time we'd always thought that Yo-Yo, we felt like she was cheating on Mac with Keller. But at this point, it's like, yeah, but a little bit of, oh, man, Keller died for me, you know, something.
Yeah.
I could have saved him with my power that I didn't use.
I mean, here's the thing. With that, the moment, the episode that it happened, that he passed, it didn't feel like she cared that much, that she was really grieving over him.
No, she cared that episode. The next episode, she didn't care.
Like, to an extent. But, like, then it was like, okay, I'm on my way, but... But
best way to break up is if the person just dies. That's the lesson that I'm learning from this. Is the best way to break up is if you don't actually have to break up. The person inhales a mind controlling bat creature.
Sure, why not? I mean, we knew that she was going to get back with Mac anyway. At least this way, there's no competitor and there's no guy. Not that he was really a competitor, but. There's no person that Mac has to contend with.
See, I would have preferred it if Keller and Yo-Yo, they did actually have that talk, if you remember.
Yeah.
It was a bit awkward. It was a bit uncomfortable. Keller expresses his feelings for Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo thinks about it and then kind of returns it, but not as fully and is not as fully committed. If she had said, hey, you know, I have this history with Mac. He's the one I loved. It's harder getting over him than I thought. Something like that. One line... 5 episodes ago would have saved this.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely.
One line. Just one line on them. But at least we realize, and Mac even says, you know, I'm not just on this trip for protocol. Clearly, it's because it was you.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's always been you moments. This is a Notebook moment. We've seen this. It's a Forrest Gump moment. The Jenna. It's this. You're the one. You're the one. I'm here because it's you.
And they both seem to admit to each other that either way, they both would have been here regardless. Yeah. And they kind of, we see this moment with them that I think we wanted to see all season. And that's the fact that they're now accepting that Mac, you know, will have to, even if they're, you know, whether they're together or not, obviously they're going to be together and they're going to get over the fact that Mac is in this position where he has to make these difficult choices. They're just going to have to work with the fact that their emotions are involved in all of this.
That's something that they've actually come up with and they talked about it, which was great. We actually saw the most amount of communication between Mac and Yo-Yo in this limited episode of their communication.
Being contained.
Because they spoke the truth.
Yeah.
Even when they're chained together, everything happens for a reason. And of course, them being chained together and the temple seemed right. Who else would you want to be chained to but the love of your life until your son pops up? And then that becomes kind of counterproductive.
Yeah. And this is my question, too. Speaking of, I know this is jumping way ahead, but speaking of Flint and bringing back people who are no longer around, I have a lot of questions around that and how this exactly is working, where Izel can just, you know, with the snap of a finger, bring certain people, you know, using the gravitonium device, bring certain people out. And I know it's kind of like what happened last season, where when Fitz thought it was like this fear dimension where people were coming out who shouldn't be there and it wasn't real. Well, I wanted to understand that better and understand how real it is. And they saw what happened with Benson and the love of his life and how it really wasn't real, but it feels real because the person's right in front of you. So what I'm curious to see how Mac and Yo-Yo really react to this. If they're able to, you know, understand, no, this is just a mirage, not real, and how it is going to work.
But also the creations act real because they are real. See, that's the concept of the DILA of power. It reaches in your mind and it creates reality. Reality, as we have come to understand it, at least even scientifically, is some form of an illusion, a lot of things. And they bring that up when they discuss resonance frequencies, which is a true thing, which is the concept that everything's vibrating at a specific speed.
Very true.
And even though it's extremely fast, so we feel like something's solid, nothing's solid. There's gaps of space between each everything because of atoms as they're moving around. And it's also one of the very fundamental bases of string theory, in which there would be 6 dimensions and all this concepts, right? All these concepts. It's very interesting. So here we are creating reality. We're creating matter. The thing I want to know is, where is it pulling the energy from? That's the interesting concept, because even with Ghost Rider, we learned that this energy comes from somewhere. You cannot matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where are we taking this energy from to create these real things?
I assumed it was from the actual gravitonium device, and then that's where the energy, that's where all of this was coming in and out of.
But see, then it would be like that's an unlimited amount of energy inside this device, and I don't think that's the case. I think this is taking a toll on something. We just don't know where. So here we see Thomas, that's Benson's love of his life. And of course we see Flint, which is actually Mac's love of his life.
Yeah.
What else can we create? We can create anything. And Izell points out that human imagination is actually very limited. So, but we can create everything. And at the same time, it's more powerful than what she has because of the knowledge that they possess. So it's a very interesting concept. Ah, man, don't let her get those monoliths.
Yeah, and we have a lot of comments, too, in the chat. A lot of discussion around what we're talking about. Ivan Soto, Rachel, Izell destroyed other worlds because she was looking for the monoliths, but because, but because they're on Earth, there's no need to destroy Earth. And then we have, let me just pick somebody else, too. Sal Dogbed, the guy that brought Benson in, wasn't technically a red shirt until his blood spilled all over it. I think they're talking.
That's a dark way to look at it. And that poor guy was on the screen for 3.4 minutes until he just got stabbed in the neck, man.
And then Billie
Show
Jean.
Show some respect. He's not
a killer. Billie Jean Girl 24. Do you think Sarge is going to betray the team and join Izell, or do you think he's just going to pretend to?
Interesting.
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts on that.
That's a good thing. I'm sure we can bring that up in predictions. One of the things we love discussing with you is not only are we mining the chat, but our good old producer, Ryan, just kidding, Bree is on the Ryan left us, but Bree is here as always. We're mining the chat, and we always enjoy all of you because remember, you guys at home are as much, if not more, a part of our panel as we are.
Yeah, so thank you all for being a part of this, and thank you for allowing us to be the ESPN of TV Talk. In order to grow, though, and continue, we definitely could use your support. So if you are watching this on YouTube right now and can just go ahead and give us a thumbs up, leave a comment, follow us, subscribe, let us know that you did, and we will give you a shout out live on air. If you're listening on iTunes, we could definitely use 5 stars. You know, absolutely, that would help us and let us know how we're doing. So again, thank you all for being a part of AfterBuzz and for allowing us to do what we do. The best part of being here is that we get to interact with you guys every single day.
We appreciate you so much. And here's the interesting thing about Izell's power. Izell would have more followers than anyone else because she could just inhabit people, follow herself, and then move on to the next person. She would just have millions and millions of
until they wake
Instagram
up and unfollow.
They would never, because they'd be like, oh, I must have followed her for a reason. There's a lot of people we follow.
I'd be like, who's this crazy one? Unfollow.
Really?
Block.
I definitely follow Izell. In fact, I actually do. Let's talk about Benson's mind. We saw Thomas.
Yes. Yeah. That was, you know, I'm really happy they did a callback to that. I didn't know that I didn't think we'd ever get more about that. But just my question was I was trying to remember how long ago Thomas had passed away and how long it had been for Benson. And on, you know, kind of in a separate note, I love that it kind of pulled out his drinking habit and we saw more of that. And I thought that's what Izell was going to really use against him was the alcohol and not so much just what he was seeing, because I kind of assumed that he knew that on some level it wasn't real.
So you thought Izell was going to be like, hey, you want a bottle? You're going to do what I say? Is that what you felt like was going to happen?
Maybe not that exactly, but just like,
you want some Ciroc, buddy? Is that how you thought it was going to play?
No, not exactly. I just thought that somehow she was going to use this to her advantage and really get him, and that we were going to learn that it wasn't just some kind of habit, that he actually had a problem, well, and that she was going to pull at those strings.
The problem plays, of course, Thomas is even aware of the problem, to the point where it almost seems that Benson had something to do with Thomas's death because he feels very guilty for it.
even though Thomas said it was he didn't see something in the road, which kind of implied that he was the one driving. But I assumed that Benson, you know, I kind of thought maybe Benson was drinking and that's what caused the accident. But sounds like it wasn't him.
Well, it seems like Benson needed a designated driver because he was drunk as usual or something of that nature. And clearly he feels a guilt for Thomas's loss of life.
Yeah.
He was the one who had to make the decision ultimately to pull the plug and didn't do so for a while in that mindset. And so when Thomas appears, Benson gives up valuable information. He began to do so, of course, when he was being tricked by Izell, quickly figured out that it wasn't Mac, and that Izell had possessed the body when Yo-Yo drops the Keller reference. Then becomes the worst actor of all when he's just like, well, then maybe we shouldn't do anything. Delete,
Mac. Right in front of him.
Mac is like, Benson, is something wrong? And all Benson had to say is, no, I think this is what we should do. But instead he was like, I'm not going to tell you anything. Like, come on.
He could have given him the wrong coordinates.
Oh, could have given the wrong coordinates. Easily. Could have created a quick, fast-paced scenario that would have gotten. Obviously, when Izell inhabits people's bodies, is not plugged in or in tune with their personal memories.
I'm smiling because we have an Ivan Soto comment that I need to read right now. Yes. And you're going to love this because Ivan says, Rachel, can you tell Taran that maybe I am wrong about Ghost Rider? Ivan Soto just said he could be wrong.
Ooh, that's a big one. And I'm obviously Ivan Soto is referring to the concept that Robbie Reyes was brought up again.
Yeah.
Yes. Is Ghost Rider going to make an appearance this season? That would be phenomenal, but that's what they tend to be foreshadowing by bringing him up several times. At this point, it's unnecessary. So why do we keep bringing up, we've seen this before, Ghost Rider. But we've seen this before, Ghost Rider. Don't walk away from me. But you know who can walk away from me? Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see Ghost Rider himself again necessarily, but I think that's more just to kind of show us what, you know, how you can compare it and what could be going on in this particular situation.
Interesting. I think we see Ghost Rider. So
Yeah, well.
I think we just see Ghost
Rider. We'll see one more episode.
There's a ghost. They're doing it on purpose. They're teasing us on purpose, and it'd be nice to, you know, they're just doing the, let's touch it, just the tip, but let's just, let's get right into the heart of it. Let's see some Ghost Rider show up and Ghost Rider be a part of this Izell, not Coulson, Ghost Rider trio, where they are from somehow the hell dimension. These are souls that are being released because we see a lot of souls come into play.
Yeah.
I feel that Izell is part of this dimension that we commonly refer to as hell in some aspect. And here's another thing. Given a lot of recent shows, I feel like this could really be a manifestation of a Lilith character, the first demon, so to speak.
Yeah.
Who is known to be female.
Yeah.
In a lot of different myths. And we also see that Izell's presence has been known because she's a part of Incan lore, possibly Aztec lore, and other native lore and mythology. So she has existed before, and she's existing again.
And the same exact thing that Sarge once said is that he's been around, obviously not as long as her from what he remembered, but that he's been around hundreds of years before May and will live hundreds of years after her. So it would kind of fit in exactly with that theory.
Where did that come from? So let's talk about Izell's foolproof plan. Izell has his plan. She does the James Bond villain thing. Yo-Yo even brings it up. Don't tell us your plan because you're going to tell us before we die, which is a horrible thing to say. Yo-Yo, wouldn't you want to hear the plan? Hey, Izell, you know what? Usually when people tell us their plans, they end up dying. So you probably don't want to do that. Let me give you some more helpful hints because I'm not being helpful enough as you're inhabiting and controlling our bodies all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's what bothered me about this episode. And I understand why they did it. And I like the reveal of Flint. But what bothered me is exactly that. So Izell kind of reveals this whole plan. But then we get with Mac and Yo-Yo, they make that admission near the end where it's there's nothing else that Izel can do to them because she's already threatened to take away. Like, the only thing they really have is the people they love, and she's already threatened that. So there's nothing more that can be done. So that kind of bothered me a little bit that that's where it went.
I actually really liked it. I thought it played out very well. I thought I enjoyed Yo-Yo still being brazen and stubborn to the end, knowing this is impending doom. They're chained in some type of sacrificial monument. And they're still, she's still Yo-Yo to the very end. That is a very Yo-Yo thing to say. So I'm actually really enjoying the writing this season. I think they're doing a great job. Obviously, the special effects are top-notch. Last season, we got two sets at the most. Now we're getting Machu Picchu. I mean,
yeah.
I really like how this is going out.
I do. I like how it's going out in the sense that, to me, too, it kind of reminds me of, as we reach near the end of, I think it was season one, where they end up in the temple and, you know, Sky, now Daisy, ends up getting her powers. It kind of feels like a callback to me of that, and so I'm really enjoying that we're back in a temple, and that it seems like it's going to be very exciting what we get next episode with the whole entire team there, and they kind of have to face her, and she is, despite the fact that to me she kind of feels 2D right now, she still seems like a very formidable, you know, villain, just in the fact that she can jump into their bodies, she can really mess with them. There's a whole set of beings that need a host that are coming in. So I feel like there is a lot riding on the team right now, and the stakes are pretty high.
Well, they are every time.
Yeah.
Something about S.H.I.E.L.D., they never get a break. There's never like a 3-week period. They're like, oh man, no one's trying to destroy the Earth. At this point, I just feel like, here, you guys want the Earth so bad? Yours.
Yeah.
We'll move. It's not worth it. Honestly, it's great, but it's not that special.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there before. I don't know. It's just everyone wants the Earth. And her plan, of course, is to recreate the monoliths, because the monoliths are, in their way, her version of the Infinity Stones, where this is her dominating plan. Not Coulson cannot remember. We send in a couple people to interrogate him. May goes in first. Sky goes in second.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
This was my favorite part of the whole entire episode, this storyline, because they really tugged, at least at my heartstrings, seeing Sarge / Coulson / whatever you want to call him, starting to really remember them. Especially, we didn't really get it in the beginning with May, but then when Daisy went in, the dynamic between Daisy and Sarge, it really brought out these two different... So obviously Sarge is struggling with who he is and what his mission is and what he's supposed to do. And he kind of comes to this conclusion that he needs to sacrifice himself because it's going to save everybody else. And so we kind of have him going off and doing his own thing. But then Daisy, she's trying to pull this like side out of him that he doesn't want to see. And he just wants it to be over with. And as she's pulling this out and she's ready to kill him to see what he, you know, to see if it's going to work. When he calls her Sky, it really tugged at my heartstrings. Aww. And just, I was like, okay, like that was probably my favorite moment of the entire season so far.
That's crazy. That's so sweet. Yeah. I don't have a heart, so Izel's hair is everything, but I would have already killed Sarge.
Yeah.
Or at least been like, oh, okay, we're going to do this, then this is going to be the plan. But that's just me, right?
Yeah.
However, we see that they are having a hard time with not Coulson because he's still Coulson.
And Eric James says, Sarge calling Daisy Sky was heartbreaking. Thank you, Eric, for agreeing.
I need to see the comments, too. You know, this is not... every comment just isn't going your way, okay? That's just not a thing.
The power of being the one in charge of comments.
So the concept is, here we get May going in. May, obviously, is having a hard time because she keeps... Even Fitz and Simmons bring up the point where she says to Sky, she kept looking at the part where basically... he reminds her of Coulson and keeps rewatching that part, going in with that mentality. So May goes in and does a very unlike May behavior, tries to reason with Coulson. Sky brings up, you could beat him into submission, which you can't because he seems to be impervious to harm, clearly doesn't care about pain, and doesn't die. So I don't know what she wanted May, the one without powers, to do, but sure. Then Skye goes in and is, flips the script, and all of a sudden she's ruthless in any way. She doesn't care. She goes in and actually breaks his neck with her power, which was a little dark. What if he had just died?
Yeah, I mean, I knew. Yeah, she knew that he wasn't going to.
But she didn't. She assumed he wasn't going to. See, the concept is, and I've always thought about this even about superhero powers, even something like a Spider-Man. Spider-Man gets bit by a radioactive spider, has all these powers that came on all of a sudden. How do we know they don't just go away all of a sudden? Mid-swing, they're just like, they stop working.
Yeah.
I mean, we get tired as people, right? Obviously, you can do something 1 minute and then you can't do it perfectly the next. How did Skye know that he was going to actually live? She took a chance, and it was ruthless, and it was her basically doing the opposite of confronting her fear. You're not Coulson. Boom, look, I can do this because you're not.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it goes
to show.
She's
still running away.
Like, just in this one episode, how much she grew, where, like, she wouldn't confront him. She wouldn't, because she didn't want to confront the idea that Coulson was dead. That's the whole thing surrounding Daisy this season, is that she always flees. She left to find Fitz. Mm. And now in this moment, she couldn't handle that she had to, in some way or another, confront Coulson. And that's kind of, to me, that was the brilliance of that moment, is that she finally does recognize that in some way or another, this person, this being, is connected to Coulson. And to me, even though she was really taking it out on him and trying not to show any emotion, to me that was emotion from Daisy, and that was her way, that anger was all the pain and all the grief she was feeling over Coulson, and the fact that now she had to talk to this person who in some way was starting to, you know, kind of remember, not remember, because he said it wasn't memories.
But it is something, though. Yeah. It is something. There's something there. There is some connection to Coulson. There is this other dimension. We see this flashback of these hooded, cloaked figures. Izel's there. Skye is there. May is there. There's something going on. We can't wait to figure out what it is. And I need them to tell us. I don't want any insinuations. And if they don't tell us, I'm writing all of them. Because this needs to be
that.
Exactly. I need to know what this is.
Yeah.
And if it relates specifically to the Ghost Rider Pact, which I think it does.
I think it does too. Absolutely. I think it does. I think if I were to like come up with my own personal theory right now, I would say that it has that in going along the vein that energy is not created or destroyed. When Coulson made that pact and he was there, he left a piece of his energy, and that's where this is coming from. And that's why those memories are there, even though they're not that clear. And that really, like, even though Sarge, who is separate from Coulson, is not Coulson, there's so much connection there and always will be.
And now we see these newfound powers of Sarge, which he did one of these all the time, this little, like, the demon walk where he's like, what, bro? What's going on? Yeah, I have powers. He kept putting his hands out in this way. But I thought the powers were very cool. I don't know exactly what they are. He obviously can open doors.
He can destroy buildings.
He just destroys things with the touch of his hand or the thought of his hands disintegrating into the things. Who knows?
Yeah.
The point is, he's powerful. And he doesn't die.
And who's to say that he can't eventually do what Izel does and hop into bodies and,
exactly,
and control her?
Which I thought of when Skye was in there. Like, how do you know he's not going to just hop into you? Actually, when she came back upstairs the first time, I thought maybe that's what happened. He escaped through her. But that's not how it played out. But I had that thought in my mind.
So this kind of goes back to the question that... let me see if I can find her name really fast. The question that was asked of whether or not we think that he's going to turn...
It could go either way. I mean, that's definitely up for predictions. Let's talk about Fitzsimmons and Deke. Deke just wants to fit in. He wants to be with his grandparents. I mean, this is the only family he has on this entire planet. Deke has always just wanted to belong.
Yeah. Well, this episode, I really thought he stepped up. And I love that he's the one who figured it out with the vibrations.
He always is. And here's the thing about Deke. I liked at the end when he's like, shut up, let me think. That's the real Deke, that assertive Deke. Because he keeps playing this, you know, this almost baby where he wants to be loved. But this Deke does exist, this brave Deke who we've seen do brave things. Even in the act of quote-unquote cowardice, he steps up. He stabs Coulson in the, not Coulson in the hand. He takes chances. So Deke is actually brave. It's just not in the stereotypical way that we think of bravery.
Well, brave, and he's also very intelligent.
He is very intelligent.
What I loved about this episode is that it wasn't, like, in the past, I feel like Fitz, not this Fitz, but the one that we saw in the last season, was very quick to kind of, like, push him to the side and not listen to him. I loved that, yes, we still had Fitzsimmons operating, like, on the same brain wavelength, but then Deke was on their level, and he was able to figure this out, and they acknowledged him for it.
It's interesting you thought that. I actually think that since Fitzsimmons got back together, they've lost a step. They're not as smart. Fitzsimmons from before, seasons 1 through 4, would have figured all this out. Season 5, I didn't like Fitz as much. This Fitz I like more, but they're not as smart together as they used to be.
See, I don't agree with that. I just think this was a very unique problem that would have been harder for them to figure out.
As opposed to the other unique problem? Opposed to creating an imaginary world? As opposed to figuring out time travel?
Here's the thing.
To all the things they've done?
Here's the thing. They can't have the answers to every single problem. That would not be realistic. So I don't think that they lost intelligence.
Oh, yes. I understand what you're saying. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is very realistic. So I liked how Deke was able to step up and figure it out. I've always been a Deke fan. I support Deke and Deke's abilities, and he's very clever. What I don't know if I support is Daisy being in charge. She seems to be kind of a bully.
Especially in this particular situation where she was emotionally compromised. But then again, so was May. But with May, at least May was kind of able to take some dissonance and kind of step away and still recognize what the right option was. But yeah, I agree. I don't see, not in this moment, I don't see Daisy as being the right person to take charge. I felt like it should have been May.
Yeah, because she doesn't create enough unity and trust in the people. She just does things to the point where she says, well, if I told you, you would have tried to talk me out of it, so I did it on my own. That's not what a real leader does.
Yeah.
Even if she did make a decision like that, and May's not the real leader either because she does things on her own too. They're actually becoming a lot more similar. In fact, Daisy is becoming more May than May is even at some times. So it's interesting. We have a lot of resonance frequency talk, and we get to, of course, we find the temple. We're in the temple. Things are going to happen. Things are erupting. And then, of course, the end of the episode, boom, we're in Chronica 3. We're back with the Chronicons. And talk about, bet you didn't see that coming.
Not at all. No. Yeah. And I'm curious, like, obviously we've only got one more episode, so I don't know what, like, they're going to, I feel like a lot of this is going to be saved for season 7, but I did not see any of this happening. It was very surprising.
Yeah, I think season 7 is going to be consumed with the Chronica 3. Somehow, of course, they're going to want it to be Earth.
Yeah.
And they even say the Chromatons are like, the Hunters are like, the first rule of Data is back up. And then she gets killed. She's just shot point blank. And it was the Hunters are now taking over, even though that's not the way the Chromcons work. And you would think, hey, there's a limited number of us. We probably shouldn't kill one of the last of our species.
Yeah.
But they do. So I think Chronica 3 is going to take over next season. We'd love to hear what you guys think at home, of course. Let's get into some news and gossip.
Okay, so we have two major things to talk about here. So the first thing I'm going to go over that's pretty quick. As you can see up on the screen, this was an Instagram post tweeted from Ming-Na Wen. And what it's showing is kind of a cast gift that she gave out to a bunch of people near the end of their filming. But the important thing is the name on one of the bikes, Enver Jokai. If you don't remember who that is, he was Peggy Carter's... I guess I'll say boyfriend at the end of season 2, right before Agent Carter got canceled. And so the fact that his name is tagged on it is leading some people to believe that the final seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will have an Agent Carter S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover somehow. There was also a few, some posts that went out a few months ago, kind of covering the cast members sporting a 40s vibe. So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited for that idea of that 40s crossover. The second picture is after Ming-Na Wen took down that first, she reposted a picture of all the bikes she gave out to the cast members, but she took, like, you can't see the names in that picture. So obviously something was up. We were not supposed to see Enver's name there. And yeah, I'd be pretty excited for that crossover, especially the way that Agent Carter was canceled.
Who's Ming-Na Wen?
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess in case anyone doesn't know, Ming-Na Wen plays May.
There we go. May posted. Use their real names for no one. Thank you. May posted that picture. I mean, I'd love to see an Agent Carter, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season episode crossover.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Not as amazing as Ghost Rider, who will be there. And we didn't see a bike for him.
Oh, and one more piece of news, too, just really fast. Chloe Bennett posted, who plays Daisy on the show, she posted that in 2 days from now, it will be the last official day of shooting for season 7, and they will be done.
Wow, so yeah. Season 7's done, and they will be done.
Yeah.
We will never be done. Because we love you so much. Thank you so much for that news and gossip. Let's get into our whoa moment. That's a moment in the show that made you go, whoa!
Hold up.
Hey! Rachel, what was your whoa moment?
The moment when Sarge said, I'm not the cure for your loneliness, when he was talking to May, and he slammed his hand on the table, and literally there was an imprint of his, you know, entire palm on that thing.
Wow. I'm going to have to go with the moment that... Daisy, Sky, I will always call her Daisy. Daisy.
I always will call her Sky.
Broke. Not Coulson's neck.
Yeah.
With her powers.
Yeah.
That was a bit harsh. That was a whoa moment to say the least. I mean, she was just like.
Yeah.
It's like. And you heard it, too. It was like, crack. Like, that didn't feel good.
No.
That didn't feel good. Then, of course, when Chromacon Lady died at the end, oof, that was a tough one. Whoa moments. Let's get into some predictions, shall we?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do you predict? Crystal ball?
I really think that Sarge is going to be a good guy. That is my prediction. And that's to answer the question that was brought up earlier, too. But yeah, I really think he's good. I think there's too much of Coulson in him. And what I'm really hoping is that he steps up. And even though he'll never be Coulson per se, I hope he steps up and is part of the team and that he does join their family.
Do you think we get not Coulson in season 7?
Yes, I definitely do.
No,
I definitely do. I don't think we would have, you know, Clark Gregg, who plays Coulson, and Sarge. I don't think we would have a season without him.
What do you think about a Ghost Rider? Do we see one?
Maybe we see one. Yeah, maybe we do see a Ghost Rider. I don't know about, I don't know about, you know, next episode, but maybe next season.
Well, I'm going to have to predict that S.H.I.E.L.D. comes to the rescue, of course, because Vincent gets out and gives them coordinates to where Izel is holding Mac and Yo-Yo. I think Mac is going to have a hard time with Flint there. And we saw what happened with Benson and Thomas. So here, Mac is going to give up valuable information and turn against his own team in order to save his son. I also think that we're going to have a showdown between not Coulson and Izel, and it's not going to go the way we think it will. But we'll find out. You know how we find out? By keep watching. You know how else we want to find out? Where people can find you there, Rachel Goodman?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Instagram at Rachel Radner Author. If you like soaps, I also do the AfterBuzz YNR soap after show on Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Well, I like soap. I use it all the time. I am Teron, of course. I am Teron all across the board. That's all on the social atmosphere. IAMTERAN. And, of course, you can find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows, because your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Until next week's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we are talking more season 6. Can't wait to find out what happens. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.